can hear this morning, but we can receive it into our heart, and then we can operate in the gifts you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. So spiritual gifts in the Bible is actually a big thing, and there's actually more than one gift. There's all sorts of gifts. It's massive, actually, and so it's really far bigger than we can talk about today, so we're just going to start it. Actually, we're going to look at gifts kind of broken down into sections. We're going to talk about three different specific kinds of giftings to begin with, and then we'll talk about some of them more specifically. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4, it says, "Now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts." What is that telling us? There's actually, let me say it this way, there's different categories of spiritual gifts. Not all gifts are the same. And so then Paul lists these categories. Now I'm going to give it to you in the Wiest word translation. Why, you say? I've never even heard of Wiest. Well, he's more of a Greek scholar, but he uses three words that I needed in my alliteration. Okay, so that's fair. There are different distributions of various kinds of, number one, ministries, but the same Lord. That's verse 5, chapter 12, verse 5. Verse 6, and there are different distributions of divine energy motivating these gifts in their operations, but the same God who by his divine energy operates them all. But to each one, there is constantly being given clearly seen operations, or let's call them manifestations. It fits my alliteration better, of the Spirit in view of to profit with all. So there's ministry gifts, motivational gifts, and let's call them manifestational gifts. Fair enough? So we've started. Now you got the basics now. So we have three major categories of gifts. Now, for some people, they might think of spiritual gifts just as, well, in one particular chapter of the Bible. So let's look at them. Ministry gifts are often suggested as those found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And it's listed as five different kinds of gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, there's another listings of gifts. We like to refer to these as the motivational gifts. But many of the names are similar. Prophesying, serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, showing mercy. And then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we just were, there's nine different gifts. We would like to call them the manifestational gifts. Let's look at them. They're divided up into three groups as well. The power gifts, faith, healing, and miracles. Personally, I like those. Then there's the perception gifts, wisdom, knowledge, and discernment. And then there's the proclamation gifts, the ones spoken out, the tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Now that's a lot for a little preacher to talk about all in one Sunday. So why don't we just focus on one of these categories today? Why don't we talk about ministry gifts? So since there's far too much for me to ever help you to understand in one day, let's just see if we can understand ministry gifts. I'm just going to do kind of an overall of ministry gifts. We normally view this list found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, as the fivefold ministry gifts. He, Christ, is the one who gave these gifts to who? So he gives these gifts to the church. So he's not giving them to the individuals, he's giving them to the church. So it's a gifting that the church needs. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, why on earth does God give these gifts to the church. Well, to equip us and for leadership purposes. In fact, they could be referred to not only as ministry gifts, but as equipping gifts, as leadership gifts. So the next verse tells us their responsibility. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. So there's a specific reason that God gives the fivefold ministries. It's to equip us. It's to help us to do our job, help us as the body of Christ to do our job and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ, until we all come to such grand unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Doesn't that sound exciting? So that's the responsibility of the fivefold ministry, to help us get there. In other words, a church doesn't just need one guy or person, the pastor. Now, I'd like to go on about all the grand things that one guy, the pastor, can do. But the Bible is quite specific that we need the team, the leadership team of the fivefold ministry. So, what are the fivefold ministries? What do they do? Christ gave us the apostles to govern. I mean, they help direct and lead and govern and to establish. Then there's the prophets who guide. They have a heart to intercede, to hear from God, and then to speak to the people. Incredible ministry. Then the evangelist gathers. He's got a heart for the lost. I mean, he's rarely in the building because he's out talking to people and winning souls. I mean, his heart is for outside the building. In fact, sell the building and get out on the streets, you know, where the people really are. I mean, if he's in a board meeting, he doesn't even want a parking lot or a building. He wants everything downtown. That's just his heart. And then there's the pastor, who his primary purpose is the people. I don't want to talk about finances, and I don't want to talk about building. I want to talk about people. You know, I care about people. Oh, did you hear that so-and-so is sick? And, you know, if somebody else is going through trouble, and the heart is for people. And then there's the teacher. The only thing they really care about is, what does the Bible say? And he expounds the Bible. So now we need all those people. Put them all in a room together, and they have completely different perspectives of how the church should operate. But when they all work together, the church works just like it should, just as God's heart is. So Christ gave all these to help us as a church move forward. So let's kind of look at them again, all the various things that they do. So the apostles established churches. I mean, they're the kind of guys that go into town and plant new churches or establish new branches of churches in an existing town. I mean, they got a heart for something that isn't established yet to be established. The prophet wants to enlighten the church, to help us understand what we haven't understood before, the heart of God, what God is saying right now. I mean, this is important. This is what God is saying now. Did you hear that? Now, the evangelist, he wants to expand the church. He's not happy with us four and no more. I mean, get out of here and get going. I mean, there's people going to hell. Then there's the pastor who wants to equip the church, caring for the church. And there's the teacher who educates the church. The fivefold ministry are important giftings to the church. We can look at them differently. The apostle wants to bring deliverance from people into the kingdom of heaven, out of the kingdom of darkness. The prophets want to direct those who've come in, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. The evangelist wants to develop the church, develop people who aren't in the church to come into the church to find God. The pastor sometimes has to discipline or correct or push, help grow the congregation. And the teacher wants to bring sound doctrine. Oh, we could go on. I had a whole bunch of different lists, but I don't want to bore you and all that. Oh, you need to know that the fivefold ministry gifts is not synonymous with full-time ministry. In other words, not all the fivefold ministry gift people are on staff. Where are they? They're there. They're us. They're you. And so then we need to identify ourselves. That's why we're talking about it today. We need to identify, hey, you know, I you say to yourself, I think I have some of those giftings. Then it kind of floats to the surface as you begin to act and minister in those areas. Now, another way to remember the fivefold ministry gifts, maybe you go home today and you think, oh, wow, the pastor spoke eloquently, but I can't remember a word he said. Well, you could just look at your hand and say, okay, the thumb represents the apostle. It supports all the other fingers and brings things into fulfillment. The prophet is the index finger. Now, we think of that more kind of the Old Testament sense. But his New Testament, there's really that sense of bringing edification, exhortation, and comfort. He's not just saying, hey, you're a bad sinner, you know, you need to fix up yourself. No, he's actually edifying, exhorting, and comforting people. Then the evangelist is the middle finger because it extends the furthest, and its whole purpose is to bring others in to the church and to God's kingdom. The pastor is the ring finger because he wants to keep the church married to Christ and in good relationship. And then the small finger represents the teacher who establishes the saints in God's purposes. So let's look at these individually. The divine enablement. The apostle. What is the apostle? The apostle is when a person has the divine enablement that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to mobilize people to introduce the gospel into new areas. Now, that doesn't just mean new locations. It could mean new demographics, maybe children, maybe a certain age group, maybe a certain demographics of people. It's just a new way of reaching people. Maybe we're just going to look at cancer victims. Yeah, let's gather all the cancer victims we can together and talk to them about Christ, because first of all, Christ heals, and second of all, you might be going to see him shortly. So it's talking about new areas, often accompanied by signs and wonders. So all of a sudden we hear reports of the cancer group, of people getting healed in the cancer group. Whoa, well, I want to join the group. And the thing expands as people hear about this new area that the apostles are leading. And then there's supernatural leadership over this group and over a number of people. Possibly it expands, and then leadership goes on to govern people who are pastoring these little groups and churches as a result of a tangible ministry. That's kind of a nutshell of who an apostle is, real briefly. But let's look at what kind of ministries they could be involved in. They could be involved in starting brand new ministries or administration and planning in the church. In fact, people who plan well are awesome people. Every church needs people who plan well. Do you know, sometimes we think of, I know you don't, some people in other churches think of the paid staff of having all of the gifts and they can run the church smoothly. But that's not true at all. In God's scheme of things, he wants the whole body to be involved, and he's planted people with various giftings. And maybe you're one of those people who can just plan in your sleep. I remember our first church in Port Hardy, we had a board member who, he'd come to a board meeting, we'd explain the situation, he would just relaxing have all the ideas of how to fix it. I mean, where he came up with those ideas, it was just simply divine. I mean, he could plan while he was sleeping. I mean, it was just incredible. Some people have special giftings to do that. Prayer and miracles often happen with people with the gifting of the apostle. Mentoring, equipping others. They just want to help others. They're kind of like parents to others, even if they're, you know, even if the apostle himself is younger. Then there's evangelism and missions. They value reaching out to others. leading small groups, preaching. And so those are kind of the areas that people with the giftings of the apostles are often involved in. So, but what's the function of the ministry gift of the apostle? Well, they want to equip and mobilize people for ministry. So they see the broad picture, and they want to equip people to do it. They somehow help people see the big picture, and somehow help people get involved. It's a wonderful gifting. They love to establish new things, new ministries. In fact, they're not good at plodding. People with the ministry gift of pastors are much better at just plodding along, doing this forever, having a long-term perspective. But the apostle, he wants to get it started, get put it on a right foundation, and then set it loose, or maybe just check in every once in a while, make sure it's all going well, straighten things out a little bit. The person with the ministry gift of the apostle develops biblical governments for these new ministries and continues to provide spiritual oversight long after it's up and off the ground and going. Well, so what's the purpose of the ministry gift of someone with the ministry gift of the apostle? To strategically and spiritually lead, equip, and organize others for the specific mission of building the local church. You guys are far too, sitting too quietly. I'm worried about that. Oh, thank you. I can go on again. Okay, good enough. So, cautions. With every gifting a person has, there's some areas where we can fall into pits. So, what's a caution for someone with the ministry gift of the apostle? Well, they can misuse the trust given to them, and they can be promoting their own agendas rather than God's. So that person needs to be careful. They're not promoting their own agenda. So this is God's agenda. And they're not misusing the trust that others have placed in them. Well, now hopefully everyone received this morning a little handout sheet of to kind of ask yourself, well, do I have this ministry gift? You think to yourself, well, I know I'm not an apostle. I don't even have to take this questionnaire. Well, let's just work through it anyway. Someone suggested to me that there's the fivefold ministry gifts aren't just one person, but there's various people in the congregation who have these giftings in larger and smaller amounts. So there's kind of big A apostles and small A apostles, you know. And often in every group, there's a small A, small P for prophet, small, you know, P for pastor person in these groups. And so let's look through it. So number one is, nope, this doesn't apply to me at all. Or that's zero. One would be just a little bit. Two is some, and much is, yep, a whole bunch is three. So we can add up our scores and put it in the top. So let's look at these things. First, I feel a divine calling that my primary ministry is laying the foundation for the planting of new Christian ministries. So why don't you just mark on there what your score would be for that. Let's go to the next one. People follow my leadership, and I am effective at it. Number three, as I have shared the gospel, God has confirmed the message with signs and wonders. Next, I have a keen ability to equip and mobilize people for ministry. Now, maybe you haven't done it for ministry yet, but you've recognized that you have a keen ability to equip and mobilize people. All you have to do is begin using that gifting in ministry. And lastly, I have been very effective in leading people to Christ, clustering these new converts into groups and nurturing them in spiritual things. And then you add up your numbers and put it in the little box at the top, and you know what your score is for that. Okay. It's going to be a long day, I can see. So we might not get through it all today, okay? That's fair enough. Now, we have a stereotype of the image of the prophet. He is a mean dude with a long finger and maybe a long nose too. He usually has that glaring look in his eye, and when he looks at you, you just kind of melt like, oh no, you know, it's all of my sins from when I was 5 years old. You know, there's just that. And if he doesn't know about him, and the ones he's going to know about, he's going to expose and tell everybody, I don't even want to like the guy. Anyway, so we have this terrible sense of the prophet. But we've really missed it. That's not who we're talking about today. We're not talking about him. So we need to know the difference between the ministry gift of the prophet. That's who we're focusing on today. Then the motivational gift of the prophet. We'll look at him on another day. And then the manifestational gift of prophecy. We'll look at him on another day. Okay, so we're focusing on the person with the ministry gift of the prophet. So one with the motivational gift of the prophet perceives and declares the will of God. He or she somehow knows or has a close insight to what God is saying. Because they have a passion for prayer and intercession. They're actually spending more time than a lot of people in intercession and hearing the voice of God. Now, everybody can hear the voice of God, but people with the ministry gift of the prophet, this is their passion. This gives them life. I mean, if they don't do it, it gives them death. I mean, they just got to hear from God. And then once they hear from God, well, everybody's got to know. I mean, didn't you know that? This is what God told me. And so they're sharing it out of their passion of what they heard from God. Then they speak up for Christian principles with conviction. Yes, but God says, even when it's not popular to do it. So one with the manifestational, so the people with the ministry gift of the prophet have a manifestational gift, normally, of prophecy. Now, which is, it declares the heartthrob of God for his church for the purpose of building up, encouraging, and comforting. So, it's not for the purpose of pointing out sin, like we might see in the Old Testament, but for the purpose of building up, encouraging, and comforting. Now, if you think you have the gift of prophecy, whether it's a motivational gift, manifestational gift, or ministry gift, in the New Testament, you need to focus on encouraging. We can all see other people's stuff, bad stuff. Oh, he's got something bad in his eye. You know, I can see that big beam or sliver in his eye. But God wants us to focus on how to build people up, encourage them, and comfort them. It's divinely enabled to receive and communicate the heart of God, is motivated to build up, encourage, and to comfort. So not everyone that prophesies, not everyone who just, maybe you hear people, various people who speak up. Not everyone who prophesies has the ministry gift of the prophet. Does that make sense? Good. So the ministry gift of a prophet is a person with the that represents the interests of God to the people. So having stood in the council and hearing God, what God has to say, he or she tells people what's in God's heart at that moment. And then intercedes and gives guidance regarding that. So it's been described this way. The divine enablement that God gives certain members of the body of Christ through whom the manifestational gift of prophecy is consistently evident. In other words, they speak out prophetic words from God. They speak to God on behalf of people and to people on behalf of God. So, ministries that often people with the ministry gift of the prophet are involved in. Well, they can easily be involved in worship because they just have a heart for intercession and for being in God's presence. And worship is one of those key areas. Music and prayer, those are just, they just kind of flow out of prophetic people. Media, gifts of the Spirit, directive counseling. I mean, as they're counseling, they're really listening to God as they're listening to you, but they're more listening to God. And then God gives them a word and wow, they can share that with you and solve the problem. They're incredible counselors. So let's look at our ministry gift sheet again and go through that same thing. Not at all is zero, little is one, some is two, and much is three. And then we can add up the scores. So, I am one through whom the manifestational gift of prophecy, that's speaking out prophetic words on, that God has given us, is consistently evident, whether it's publicly or privately your home or that sort of thing. So mark down on your little sheet where you are on that. Two, I am motivated to see things in absolutes. It's either right or wrong, black or white. There are no grays. Third, I feel called to intercession and feel my prayers have helped break strongholds and birth people into the kingdom. If that's you, mark a three. If that's not you, mark a zero or something in between. I often speak messages that I believe come from God. Mark that down. When God speaks through me to Christians, the messages are encouraging. They are comforting. They are strengthening. I'm building up the body of Christ. Then put your, add those up and put your score at the top. Well, we've done two of five. Let's carry on. The evangelist. Now, I love the evangelist. As you know, I worked 10 years with Teen Challenge. In fact, when I was in high school wondering, what can I do when I grow up? This was my passion. One of the things that happened right after high school is I went on a short-term missions trip. And we just got to go door-to-door and to the beach and every other way you can think of to share faith. We memorized the plan of how to share faith. In fact, we memorized a number of plans of how to share faith and where Bible verses were at. We memorized verses that talked about getting people saved. And so our passion was let's populate heaven. Can you think of anything more passionate, more purposeful than populating heaven? Imagine getting to heaven and seeing all the people that are there because you influenced them. Oh, wow. Talk about something exciting. Well, so this one's exciting to me. So effectively communicating the gospel to unbelievers so they respond in faith and move towards discipleship. So we don't want to just excite people for a moment, but we want to excite them enough that they have a complete turnaround in their life and follow Christ. So the purpose of the ministry gift of the evangelist is to actively seek and develop relationships with the lost. So in other words, they have connections with people who don't attend church. Can you believe that? Some of us only have connections with people in church. But those with the gift of the evangelist, they love to be around those who don't know Christ yet. Not because they're their bosom buddies. No, it's they have a motivation. I want to lead this person to Christ. Maybe it's their neighbor. Maybe it's the person they're working with. Maybe it's a person working the till at the grocery store. But whoever it is, their goal is, I want to see you in heaven. So they want to bring them from through repentance to salvation and into eternal life. This person then leads people to Christ and brings them to church. Now, some people are at various levels. Some people just bring them to church and hope the pastor's going to get them saved. And that's a great start. But a true evangelist actually has memorized the scriptures, knows how to pray with a person and bring them through salvation themselves, and then brings them to church. Because, you know, a lot of people outside, most people outside the church, find the church culture strange and intimidating. And it's kind of like going into surgery for the first time and not knowing what you're going to expect or experience. Well, and so the evangelist does all that in a safe place with the person and then brings the person to church. Maybe brings them to a home group first, makes it comfortable in the home group. Anyway. Cautions about the ministry gift of the evangelist. Evangelists have a sense that If you're not evangelist, if you're not leading souls to Christ, you're not even a Christian. I mean, I don't understand how you exist. And so there's this looking down on people who don't lead people to Jesus. So the second thing is coercing people to do it. Oh, you've got to do it. Come out with me. I mean, you need to go to the street yourself. And so there's that sense of coercing people. That's not their highest ministry gift. In fact, instead of giving them energy, it actually scares the spit right out of them. So some people just aren't quite ready for that. Or losing sight of the fact that the primary focus is to share the gospel, not to win converts. I mean, yes, we do want to win converts, but sometimes we push people into it far too soon, and they're not ready to make the decision. It's like a car salesman trying to sell the car, and the looker isn't ready yet. So there's this regret if they've made the decision. Well, what are some of the ministries that a person with the motivational gift of the evangelist might get involved in around the church? Well, there's all sorts of things. First of all, they could be doing just personal evangelism on their own, whether or not the church is doing it or not. They're down sharing their faith. They could be on the missions committee. Now, we have an incredible missions committee, but next Sunday, the 18th, is it next Sunday? Yes, it is. Next Sunday on the 18th, we're having a special luncheon after church for anyone who's involved with missions or no, has an interest in missions. We want to do a better job at missions than what we're already doing. And you might just have an idea. Even if you don't, we want to invite you to a free lunch after church. We're not taking an offering. We're hoping for ideas. Ideas of how to do it better. Anyway, so people with a ministry gift. Oh, that's it. Thank you, Pastor John. So there is a sign-up sheet where? In the back where? On the table in the back. So if you would like to come to this this missions luncheon after church next Sunday, would you please sign up so we'll know how much to prepare for next Sunday? Next Sunday, immediately following church, in the chapel, will be a luncheon for those who want to help us, give us ideas, speak into us and help with the missions committee, or maybe you'd like to be on the missions committee because you got so many ideas. Anyway, then there's neighborhood life groups, kind of home group, care groups that happen in people's neighborhoods. There's newcomers welcome. So people have been coming to church, and yet we barely get to know them, and you'd like to be involved with that. There's greeting at the door, welcoming people as they come in the building. So there's a friendly face. There's children's workers, phone visitations like Tall Paul is doing. He just said, hey, there's people I haven't met yet, but I have to phone them and encourage them. Visiting sick people. You know, there are people who can't get here because they're not feeling well, or they're shut-ins, or they're hospitalized, or they're just missing. We haven't seen them in a while, but there's this passion in the evangelist. I need to see that person. I need to know they're okay. Phone them, how are you doing? Go to visit them. How are you doing? Anyway, those are ministries that the person with the ministry gift of evangelist could be involved in. Well, let's take our sheets and see how we're doing on that. Ministry gift of the evangelist. I have a strong desire to help non-Christians find salvation through Jesus Christ. If that's you, mark it down. Number two, I regularly look for opportunities to share my faith in Christ. Number three, I have memorized scripture and adopted a plan of how to communicate my faith in a manner that is well received. Number four, non-Christians appear comfortable around me, and I feel confident and effective as I share the salvation plan with them. And number five, I have personally led people to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, now let's talk about one that I know some things about. The ministry gift of the pastor. Let's look at a definition of that. The divine enablement that God gives certain members of the body of Christ to, here we go, nurture a group of people in spiritual growth and equip them for works of ministry. You know, I need to tell you that not all pastors have the ministry gift of pastors. Some pastors have the ministry gift of the apostle. like to organize. I mean, they had the best organized church there ever was. They like to plant things. I mean, there's all sorts of new things happening in their church because and ministries outside the church that they've started and planted because they have the ministry gift of the apostle. They're pastors whose primary ministry gift is the prophet. He's forever. That person is forever hearing from God and declaring God. Then there's people with the ministry gift of the evangelist who stand as the pastor. So they're forever getting their church out, reaching out all over, everywhere. That's their primary ministry gift. There's pastors whose primary ministry gift is teaching. I mean, that's what juices them. I mean, they think all week long about what else they can find in the Bible and share it. And then there's people with the ministry gift of the pastor who actually are the pastor. So the pastor has a mentoring leadership, comes along people and mentors them. It likes to spiritually nurture people, likes to lovingly bring nourishment to people and thoughtfully guarding them with the goal of leading them to greater spiritual maturity. So the pastor, what are some of the cautions about someone with the ministry gift of the pastor is developing too strong of personal relationships, personal responsibility for the people. I mean, you have to be accountable. A lot of accountability, too strong of accountability. Leading people with your abilities, not God's abilities. And allowing programs to mean more to you than people's spiritual growth. We got a program for everything, but what God really wants is people's spiritual growth. So evidence that you might have the gift of pastor is, number one, leading. You possess a passion for spiritual growth for others around you. Number two, feeding. You enjoy sharing biblical insights and equipping others for ministry. Number three, nurturing. You are a people-orientated person, and relationships are your focus. You just love people. Guarding. You feel responsible to guard the spiritual life of others. And gifting. You have the motivational gift, normally, of mercy and exhortation. We'll talk more about motivational gifts on another day. So you just ooze mercy and exhortation, encouraging people. In fact, people like to be around you because you're so encouraging. Well, what kind of ministries can a person with the motivational gift of the pastor or ministry gift of the pastor be involved in? So new conference classes, of course, altar ministries, caring, counseling, mentoring, training, phoning ministries, small group leaders, Sunday school workers, support workers, visiting, all sorts of visiting, guest visiting, home visiting, hospital visiting, shut-ins, etc. Well, let's go back to our sheet again and look at these five different things. I would enjoy assuming the leadership responsibilities for the spiritual well-being of a particular group of people. That's me. So if that's you, mark a 3. If it's not you, mark a 0. And if you're someplace in between, mark it in between. Sharing biblical insights and equipping people for works of ministry, give me life. That's you, 3. Not you, 0. I am a caring, relational people person given to hospitality and visiting. That's you. Mark it. Big 3. If it's not you, big 0. If it's someplace in between, do that. Number 4. I feel responsible to help guard the spiritual life of others. I notice when they're missing from Christian fellowship, hurting, tempted, or into false teaching, and go out of my way to contact and encourage them. That's you, number 3. And lastly, I have the motivational gift of mercy and or exhortation. Okay, let's do the last one. The ministry gift of the teacher. A definition of it is the divine enablement that God gives certain members of the body of Christ to study and understand clearly and communicate God's word and apply God's the word to God. I don't know how well he did that. Let's try that again. To study, understand, clearly communicate and apply the Word of God, thus causing greater Christ-likeness in the lives of listeners. So, what's the purpose of a person with the motivational gift of teaching? To strengthen the local expression of the body of Christ and to help equip believers for daily living and works of ministry. I mean, their motivational gift, they just love to study God's Word and they want to share it. And people need to listen because this is very important. And how come you're not paying attention? So, cautions about the person with the ministry gift of teaching. You may get lost in the excitement of studying. I was going to ask how many of you get lost in the excitement of study. I can tend to get lost. My wife can attest that I can go in my little hole at the house and can be in there for hours studying. And I don't want a phone call. Don't bother me with a phone call. I'm hot on the trail of something good. And don't bother me with trivialities here. And get sidetracked from the ultimate purpose is to share God's heart with people. I mean, so that's a caution. What's another one? Is placing too much emphasis on the euphoria of being in front of people. Now, teachers like actually teaching. I mean, they actually enjoy it. I was telling myself the other day, I still get scared every Sunday morning. Every Sunday. I get up at 5, I'm scared, spitless. Somebody says, don't you get over it? Well, I haven't yet. I'm not sure when that happens, but it hasn't happened yet. But people with the real ministry gift of teaching, oh no, this gives them life. I mean, they're just juiced. I mean, stay all day, I'm still speaking. So, another caution is teaching information without an application. I mean, they give all this great stuff, but so what? So what? Okay. So evidence that you might have the ministry gift of the teacher. Understanding. You have the gift for finding and understanding truth. Maybe you can find it so easy and you can understand it. It just makes sense to you. Application. You easily deduct practical steps you need to do A, B, C, and D from Scripture. To communicate. You can communicate your thoughts clearly and in a way that people enjoy and want to listen to more. Tell me more. You're organized. You can alliterate things, and you're organized, and you're thinking, and systematic in your approach to Scripture. And I had a lady in Port Hardy. My sermons were all over the place. It was my first church, you know, and she would take my mess of a sermon and make it in point form. I thought, whoa, that's better. Can I borrow that? Then she would alliterate it all. How do you do that? I never had those thoughts, but she would put it all together for me. After the service was over, she'd hand it. I'm thinking, whoa, I'm going to save that for next time. So she really had the ministry gift of a teacher. And you know what she did? She volunteered every Friday night at our kids' club, and she would teach the children. She had 3 age groups of children she'd teach the same lesson to in a different manner. She'd take, you know, whether it's Daniel and Lion's Den or whoever it was, she'd teach it to 3 different age groups, 3 different ways. She was incredible. So, giftings. You have the motivational gift of teaching. Well, ministries that individuals with the motivational gift of teaching could be involved in, of course, Sunday school teaching, Royal Rangers and Girls Club, newcomers classes, new converts classes, discipleship classes, care group teacher. I mean, there's no end to it. You could even, yeah, I mean, we all need teaching. So, let's take out our piece of paper for the last time and go through this. I enjoy spending considerable time in meticulous Bible study and have a gift of understanding it. I easily identify practical steps of action from Scripture. If that's you, mark 3. If it's not you, put a 0. I enjoy teaching biblical truths and feel God has enabled me to do so in ways others enjoy, and that impacts their thinking and actions. 4, I am organized in my thinking and systematic in my approach to presenting Bible lessons to a group of people. And lastly, I have the motivational gift of teaching. Add up your scores, put the score in a little box, then you look down all of your little boxes and you say to yourself, well, the only one I have anything in is this one, so I must lean towards that. I wanted to mention, as we talked about the ministry gift of the prophet, there are lots of people, various people, who speak out in church prophetically. And just because they speak out, just because you speak out, it doesn't necessarily mean you have the ministry gift of the prophet. It might mean you just have the manifestational gift of prophecy. But here in our church, we've actually appointed somebody responsible for the prophetic. And you say, well, why would you do that? Because I actually, whether you know it or not, don't have the ministry gift of the prophet. In fact, when things happen, I'm asking myself, God, is that you? Come on, tell me. Is that you? I'm not getting any messages here. Until it's so brilliant. I mean, it's so clear. I think to myself, oh, everybody knows that's of God, or everybody knows that was not of God. I mean, it's got to just hit me in the face before I know. So I said to myself, well, since Mark, you don't have all of the gifts, you should find somebody who at least has the motivational gift or the ministry gift of the prophet so he can advise me and the church. And so I've appointed and asked, and the board has ratified that Ernie Anderson is kind of the guy in charge of the prophetic here. Ernie, just in case someone doesn't know you want to just stand up or wave your hand so that people know who you are? So if all of a sudden you think you're hearing from God and you need to talk to somebody about that and maybe share here at church, Ernie's the guy to talk to. I mean, in fact, he's going to be doing a lesson on the prophetic, aren't you, Ernie? That was so definite. He's going to have a little class on the prophetic, help people who are prophetically inclined, and all that sort of thing. And so we just love people with ministry gifts. And you might not be an absolute pro at anything, but we want to help develop you in the gifts God has given you. Well, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your kindness and that you're sharing your ministry gifts with the church. And so we just ask you to help us as we grow in these giftings. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're just going to pause. We still have just a few minutes, and we're going to share in communion. I'm going to ask if some men would come and help me, or some people would come and help me in distributing the communion emblems. I need a few more people. Thank you. Can I give you this to help me with gluten-free people? Oops. Thank you. So if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, we just encourage you to join with us today as we share in communion. We're just going to bow our heads in a word of prayer, and then the emblems are going to be passed out. If you specifically need gluten-free, you raise your hand, then we'll make sure that you get that. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent your Son to die for us, and that we can know him as our personal Lord and Savior. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.